We've been talking about our heritage for several weeks. And last week, we talked about what it must have been like. You know, the whole idea. I can't imagine what it would have been like to look into the eyes of Jesus, looking into the eyes of God himself, and still yell, "Crucify him." I mean, that's just amazing to me. You watch the movie The Passion, and it's troubling. You say, how can this happen? And then, if you get the privilege to go to Orlando, to Holy Land experience, you're as far from Jesus as I am from the front row, and you're watching him being beat. And you're watching the actors there, when that Roman soldier looks at you, you do want to back up. And when Lucifer comes down the aisle in one of the programs, people back away from the aisle. Yeah. So what it must have been like, and we've said for several weeks, the idea of church or Christianity has gotten so far away from its original source. Kind of like everything that's going on in the world today. Do you realize there are constantly revolutions going on? It seems like they're going on all the time. So much so that the Beatles even did a song. You know, going to be a revolution. The problem is, after the revolution is over, it's worse than it was before. You can look around the world. Cuba, you know, with Castro. You have Lenin with the Bolsheviks. You have France with, I think it was Napoleon who came in and quote, saved them from tyranny. You had, in our lifetime, not theirs, in our lifetime, if you remember, Iran, the Ayatollah, Khomeini. You had Idi Amin in Africa. You have now going on, and we said, everything's a revolution. You know, everywhere. You have Tunisia, Bahrain. You have over in Yemen, Saudi Arabia is bubbling over. England are already calling for a revolution. Yeah. Libya, Egypt. The problem is, what comes after? There has only been one in all of history. Only one revolution that turned out well. One. You can go in all of your history books. Only one revolution turned out better than it was. And you're living in that country. It's the only revolution because it started, I don't know if you realize it or not, but only 25% of the people in the colonies, as they were called, wanted separation from England. 25% wanted to stay with England, and the other 50% were going, whatever. Desmond Ford once said, 1% of the people think, 9% think they think, and 90% would rather die than think. And so when you think about revolution, that's what I want to talk about today, but not secular. See, because what happens is, just like with this nation, it started with about a dozen people. I don't know how many of you knew. No, I didn't know till last evening. Thomas Paine went to France during the Revolution to see. You know, I mean, he wanted to know, how do we do this right? The founders went to great lengths. And you know, it was during the time when they were using the guillotine. And he found himself in prison. They were going to behead him. And all he wanted to do was find out how to do a revolution right. 1776 came, and the revolution came. You know, and I answered the question when they asked, I heard a commentator ask, do you know what year we got our Constitution? Revolution, 1776. What year did we get a Constitution? 91. Started in 89. That's a long time, people. What were they doing? Besides, yeah, they were, you know, there were these people with red coats kind of marching around. They were a little occupied then. But that was a long time from 1776. We think revolution has to have immediate results. If it's going to be lasting, it's going to take time. You know, sometimes I sit here and I really do believe, I've told you that before, no one chooses to be here. God says He chooses you to be here. Don't ever think it's your choice. God says, you don't choose me, I choose you. And I believe, I personally believe, we have been called for, as the Beatles would say, gonna have a revolution. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why would I say that? Because there are plenty of churches. We're not looking for big numbers, people. Think about the founders. About a dozen. About a dozen. That's all it was. They had to get the message out. This is not their message was, and that was spelled out in the Bill of Rights. All men are born with God-given rights. Now, people argue whether they were Christians or not, endowed by their Creator. Think what you will. Yeah. God-given rights. Spence and I were talking a little bit about the Continental Congress, Constitutional Convention, and they couldn't do anything. They tried. The Declaration of Independence came very quickly to Thomas Jefferson, but the Constitution they labored over, and they blood, sweat, and tears. People had died to give them this privilege, and they couldn't come up with anything. And Ben Franklin said, the difference is, when we were making decisions one after the other and doing them quickly, before we ever made a decision, we always prayed. Gentlemen, I think we need to disband, go home for the weekend, pray and come back Monday morning. And they did. And when they came back, it was either 2 or 3 days and they were finished. They had nothing. Don't tell me, you know, now you can debate whatever you want about Ben Franklin and his morals. But he knew where to go when the chips were down. He knew from where he received his strength. And he said, we need to pray. I believe the church has forgotten its heritage. I firmly believe that. How do I know? Because too many people are preaching messages of judgment. And I can't find it in Scripture. Not judgment, I find judgment. But I can't find anywhere in Scripture where he says, go, preach judgment. That was John the Baptist's message. God, think about this, caused a revolution in the church that God started. Kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? God called Israel. I mean, he changed the name of Jacob. Jacob, meaning deceiver. The word Jacob means deceiver. And he says, you will no longer be called Jacob, the deceiver. I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel, blessed of God. And then God himself creates Israel and then overthrows it through a revolution. One man, Jesus Christ. It's time. It's time for that to happen again. Because people had gotten so much into the church, God couldn't get into them. We are into things, and the problem is, they take the Scripture too literally sometimes when it says we must all put on Christ. And that's the problem with the church. Did you ever say to somebody, I was just putting you on. I was just joking with you. Christianity, a call from the living God, is not to be putting God on. Like Crazy Dave used to say, when God plays, he plays for keeps. So let's bow our heads. We're going to go to God, and we're going to take a brief moment to look into this idea of what God has called us to do. Let's bow our heads. Father, once again, you have called us here, and you have called us, Father. You have chosen those who are sitting here today are hand-picked by you. You can have used your spirit. You have used your angels. Father, you used all kinds of circumstances, but you made the choice. You say you chose us. Therefore, Father, we don't take it lightly. We know you didn't call each of us here to hear what men have to say. So annihilate the servant. Resurrect yourself, your son, and your spirit. So that your son might be lifted up, so that your spirit might be poured out, so that you can be glorified. It's what you've promised. It's, Father, what we covet. And it's what we expect. Because you promised it. And we receive it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The idea of 2,000 years ago, for 4,000 years, there was this God-created church. Somehow, we have the feeling that once God creates something, he's never, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And somehow, we have the idea that Jesus was called to call people back to doctrinal history. And that's not what he was called back for. He was called back so he could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because doctrinal history said, if a woman is caught in adultery, you stone her. The Father says, he who is without sin, that's not doctrinal history. That's not doctrinal history. That's doctored history, the way the church says it. They have to pay, don't they? Before. Now someone else has. The idea is brought out in Romans chapter 11. And he brings it out. I know the parable we looked at this morning was confusing at best, frustrating at best. This is not. This is pretty clear. He says in verse, beginning with verse 17, talking about Israel as being the olive tree. Remember, nothing happens unless it passes by the throne of God. That means Spence's illness, before it came to Spence, passed God. And it can be why we go through these things, I don't know. Maybe it's because his friend today needs to hear someone who's been through it and survived. Kind of like group therapy. Hi, I'm a Christian and I survived. I survived church. Let's face it, Jesus didn't. You want to know what? See, Jesus wasn't crucified because of love. He was crucified in spite of love. I'll have to send it to Polly. Somebody sent me the neatest picture. It's a young woman with a t-shirt that says love. And when she stands next to a mirror, in the mirror, the same t-shirt reads hate. God is love. God is truth. Which means they're one and the same. And we've said truth births anger. So it says, talking about Israel. Now, if some of the branches, Israel was the olive tree, were broken off, and you, though a wild olive branch, that's us, were grafted in among them and have come to share in the rich root of the cultivated olive tree. See, there's two kinds of olive trees. Now, I never got to visit our olive plantation, but I remember my grandfather talking about olive trees. There were two kinds, just like there are cultivated blackberries and wild blackberries. Yeah. And the cultivated blackberries are about that big, and the ones like grow in your backyard are about that big. Yeah. Big difference. Different taste. Same with olive trees. But they have cultivated olive trees and they have wild olive trees. And he says, you being a wild olive branch have been grafted in, and you get to enjoy the nourishment from the root of the cultivated olive tree. Do not brag that you are better than those branches. Which branches? The ones that have been cut off. Just because you're grafted in and you get to nourish yourself on Jesus Christ, don't brag that you're better than those who aren't. Someone this week was talking about, they made a statement. This was their statement. I don't know about you, but I thank God I'm an atheist. Go figure that one out. And that's, we become like the scribes and Pharisees. You know, thank God I'm not like. It says, do not brag that you are better than those branches. But if you do brag, you do not sustain the root. But the root sustains you. If you're going to brag, Muhammad Ali, what he said is still true. Bragging ain't bragging if it's true. Bragging ain't bragging. Not me, but Christ. I can't do anything, but through him, all things are possible. That kind of bragging is okay. Understand, any strength you get, any blessings you get, don't come from the church you go to. They come from the God you serve. No matter what church you go to. We were talking in Bible study, we talked a little bit about Thursday night, about the lady who was so excited about her blessings down at Mountain View that just wanted to break out her rosaries and start saying her rosaries. You know? She knows that the blessings didn't come from the rosaries, but she knows where the blessings came from. She wanted to brag about the God she serves in the only way she knew how. And let me tell you something. When you see the countenance of somebody who knows who they serve, it makes all the difference. It says, but the root sustains you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. People, God doesn't have to make room for you. We sing it. There's room at the olive tree for you. There's room. My grandfather used to do a lot of grafting on fruit trees. And he didn't cut branches off when he grafted some in. We had a fella in Lynchburg who had an apple tree in his backyard, and he grafted. He had, one of his branches was Golden Delicious. One branch was Red Delicious. One branch was Granny Smith. Yeah, and he had five different kinds of apples on one apple tree. But he never cut a branch off to put a new one in. That's not why they were broken off. They weren't broken off to make room for you. They were broken off because they weren't producing anymore. They thought it was about them. This tree is lucky to have me. If it weren't for me, who would get up and speak? I don't know, maybe a kid with two fish and five loaves. I mean, if Aaron weren't here, who's going to get up and sing? I don't know, maybe Kay Price. Maybe Ian. It's our privilege to be grafted in. It's not out of necessity. God doesn't have to have more branches. He says, they were broken off so that I might be grafted in. True enough, they were broken off by unbelief. Not to make room for you, but you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant about your faith. Everybody has it. Nobody has more than, I just wish I had the faith of, and you fill in the blank. Nobody has more. To every man, either it's true or it's not. To every man is dealt a measure of faith. Yeah, well, God doesn't say, Gabe, you know what? That atheist over there is never going to believe in me, so take his faith and give it to somebody. No. It's there. It's there. It's like the old story of the man who cut trees down with an axe his whole life. And as he got older, his neighbor thought he'd give him a great gift and gave him a chainsaw. A couple of weeks later, he said, "Isn't it much better?" He said, "No, I used to cut 4 or 5 trees down a day. With the axe, I get 1 down a day now with the chainsaw." And the guy said, "1. He said, "There must be something wrong." And he pulled the string, and the man said, "What's that noise?" The power was there, people. The power is there. It's not more. The chainsaw didn't have more power. Had the same power. Not more faith. What's that noise? They sing a song down there, and they sung it here, I think, when they came, Shelly and then came up. Somebody's praying. I can feel it. You know, I can feel it. They were cut off because of unbelief. So don't get arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the ones he created to be branches, he cultivated them, he will not spare you either. Why are you here? That's what this is asking. It's happening around the world, revolution. Revolution for the sake of revolution. You're going to end up just like every other one. One thing was different about the USA. God. They prayed before. They prayed after. The Indians, I don't even know if we can use that word, edit the tape or CD, whatever you do before, because I don't know if we can even say Indians anymore. You know why they helped the colonists? Because they would see George Washington with all the bullet holes in his jacket, and they couldn't figure out why he wasn't dead. Yeah. His jacket would be full of bullet holes, and he'd come back and he'd mend them, and he'd go out and it'd be... And yet, they couldn't figure it out. And they're going, "This is a man that the spirits have favor on. This is a leader I can follow." And I believe, can't remember which president, I want to say Reagan because I like him, but I don't want to be wrong because somebody will call me on it. But someone said, "We are either one nation under God or we are a nation gone under." And people were getting close to it. We're getting close to it. Look at the symbol for the Muslim Brotherhood. That's it. Look at the symbol for the AFL-CIO. That's it. Look at the symbol for socialism. That's it. People, look at the symbol for true Christianity and false Christianity. It's always the cross. It looks the same, but it's not the same. Don't boast because God called you here today. He called you here today because he expects something from you. I have no clue what that is. Therefore, considers God's kindness and severity. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you. You have been blessed to be used by God. The problem is, see, churches believe they can get, and there's several Christian, quote-quote, Christian television stations out there. But only one has over 10,000, not sites, 10,000 different stations. Over. Why? Because one wants, all the others want to say, the hour of his judgment has come. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Mark, chapter 16. The Great Commission. Verse 15. Then he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach judgment to the whole creation. That's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go, therefore, and preach the good news. Churches want to give good advice. Christians want to give good advice. They want to tell you what to do, what not to do, how to do something better, how to, you can accomplish something. Let me tell you how to do it better. Get close to him. See? When the boy with the lunch got close to him, things got better for everybody. One person. See, it doesn't take a lot. And see, Aaron already told us he might be too old already. Yeah. And Lord knows he told us all of us are already too old. Maybe there's a lad here. Could be one on the front row. Or it could be Alex. Maybe the best man for the job is a woman. Might be one of the young ladies. We don't know. But God has called you here today. Because he wants you to know that you have been grafted in. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Yeah. I know in all of Southwest Virginia, I know of no other apple tree like Ben Yates in his yard. Five different kinds of apples off one tree. And people used to come to visit Ben, not to get apples, just to see the tree. And they'd say, how did you do it? Ben was a Christian. He said, my part was easy. I just cut it and stuck it in there. God did the rest. They just grew where I put them. And they did what God told them to do, not what I told them to do. That's the secret. See, he says, go. Church, we've been called to give good news. Good news. There's a Savior that's ready. I don't care if you are the young man who stepped on a bus this week. You know, the other day, I bought gas. I guess it was Thursday morning. 3:25. And on the way home, or on the way to Bible study, stopped at the same station to fill up my other vehicle, 3:35. Same station. And I'm thanking God because there were two young men on a bus in Germany that didn't have that privilege. Because somebody got on the bus, yells, Ali Akbar, and starts shooting. Two young airmen, one from Virginia here, But guess what? The good news is the young man that yelled Ali Akbar, Jesus died for him. That's good news. That's good news. God's grace. We sing it sometimes. Your grace is enough. Where we get it wrong is we sing, your grace is enough for me. I know that. It's the people I come in contact with that might not believe his grace is enough for them. The good news is his grace is enough. His grace is enough. It's time for a revolution. Stop the judgment. Yeah. Investigative, last day, it doesn't matter. Get out of it. You haven't been called to that. Even God the Father isn't in the judgment mode anymore. He says, I've given all judgment over to the Son. Even God doesn't want to do it. Why does the church want to do it? And get into the gospel mode. See, that's where Spence and Alice are gone. They're going for a gospel meeting. Yeah. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. That's good news. Yeah. Not he might do it for you. Can you imagine? You know, just like the song says, my name is Lazarus. Look, he did it for me, but Bob, I didn't even know the guy's name, I'm going to call him Bob, you're much worse than I am. Much worse than I was. And then you bring in somebody else who had cancer, you know. Bring in that evangelist I worked with, Clifford Vickery, you know, who had the cut and the radical neck and all. And he can say, he did it for me. But you're much worse than me. And then we bring Doug in. Yeah, the man with no throat. He did it for me, but you're much worse than me. See, the good news is, he did it for me. And I know he'll do it for you. How do I know? Because in spite of love, he went to Calvary. Not because of it. In spite of it. That's what it's all about. Love. You know. I'm going to have Polly put that on PowerPoint, that picture. I looked at that. I said, my goodness, what a picture that is. Yeah. And maybe we could put Grandma Mabley in the t-shirt so that, you know, these boys will actually pay attention to the t-shirt. Yeah. Love. When it stands next to the mirror, what do you see? The church is supposed to be the mirror of God. When love stood next to it, what did the world see? Let's bow our heads. Father, it's time. Father, for a revolution of the gospel, the good news, to tell people they've never gone too far to where the arm of God can't reach them. They've never fallen so far that the arm of God can't pick them up. Oh, Father, the good news is that Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. The song says, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's gospel. That's gospel. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for John the Baptist that led the way preaching the message that the hour of his judgment had come. And thank you for Calvary, so that we could witness that the hour of judgment had passed. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, Father, thank you. Send us out to do your will. Send us out where you want us to go. Father, cast the bread upon the waters, and your word says in many days it will come back. Reap the harvest, Father, that you plant. We thank you for the privilege of being grafted in. And if we're going to boast about anything, we will boast about Jesus Christ, his power and his love and his ability and his presence and his perseverance. Oh, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's well with your soul, because he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. It's Spence and Alice's message to their friend. His plans are not for your disaster, but for your welfare. His plans are to give you a future and a hope. Accept his plan. Then you will call to me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.